While taping this interview, I thought many times about moments where people would say, "Why do your children have different last names?" Or, "How does your family blend together and do things well?" Or, "Why, what, when, how?" And asking questions that perhaps did not involve them, but they were curious because we were and are a blended family. Often people will come to a husband and wife or a significant other and their partner and say, "Are these your children? Who are these individuals?" I love the interview that's coming up with this next couple, JT and Trust. They don't look at their family as blended, they just say, "We're a family." And we're going to discuss how they manage relationships respectfully. So sit back, relax, grab your popcorn, your tea, your coffee, and enjoy this episode.
Welcome to Uncovering Truth with Grace. Each week, Dr. Rose Schmidt shares one awe-inspiring story or concept on a journey of uncovering unique management and work-life experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good evening, Trust and JP. I am so honored to have you both on Uncovering the Truth with Grace podcast. It's such a blessing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Wonderful. I'm just so thankful. One of the reasons why I wanted to have you guys on this podcast is I have heard in the last few months just some amazing things about your family and how you just work well together as a union to raise your kids, to be a shining pillar to them as well as the community. And I wanted to dive a little bit into that so that other families can see that no matter what we're dealing with in this pandemic season, that we can still be great parents. So thank you for being here. So can you just share with my audience just a little bit about how you guys met each other?
So we met in a, it was a place called the NCO Club on Fort Lee. This was July 21st, 2006, around 11:40 p.m.
July 22nd, after midnight.
Are y'all record keepers? How do y'all know the exact time?
Well, I know because one side of the club would close, and I would only stay on the other side. And then when that side would close, I would go to the other side. And he happened to be on the other side.
So y'all met in a club is what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah.
And what do you feel about the stereotypes that people say, you know, don't be meeting men up or women in the club because they're going to cheat on you or they may not be good people. What do y'all think of that?
It's just elevator music. Good people go to the club too. It's not all snakes and dogs in the club.
I say, don't meet them at church.
Wow. Why do you say that?
I mean, you know what you hear about, you know, the pastor and, you know, people afraid to be who they really are inside the church. And then they do things. And in the club, you're just free. You get what you get.
Yes. I mean, I concur with any place, right? You never know who you're going to meet. And it's really about the person, not necessarily the place all the time. But you guys found that treasure in each other. And that's a blessing. So thanks for sharing that. What?
July 22nd.
21st.
So what was the actual first quality that you guys saw in each other after you had dated for about 30 days?
So for myself, one thing that's a non-negotiable, something that I have to have is somebody that's dependable. Anything else I might have, whatever. But if you say you're going to be somewhere, be there. If you say you're going to do something, do it. If not, just call me or let me know, hey, I can't because this and this and this came up. My response would be, okay, no big deal. But don't just ask me to meet you somewhere. Never show up. And I'm standing there like at 10 o'clock the next morning, standing there talking about, where is she going to show up now? It's like 10 hours later. That's an absolute deal breaker with me.
So that was my problem?
Yeah, you're dependable. Oh. Dependable.
You know what's funny, Dr. Rowe?
What's that?
It's funny that he say that because when I was supposed to meet him after the club, I stood him up. I was asleep.
Wow. Did he hold that? Obviously, he didn't hold it against you because y'all are together.
I know. So when he said that, that's what's funny to me.
But the reason that didn't bother me is because she called me immediately after and said, hey, I'm sorry, I fell asleep. And I thought thought to myself, no big deal. Stuff happens. Everybody gets one freebie. And then we met again the next morning for Waffle House, and she showed up like on time or early. So, you know, worked for me. If you're dependable, everything else I can deal with. I'm a serious guy. I don't like games. I'm very direct, and I like somebody to be direct with me.
So you believed her because you know how that person will say, you know, when they call you up on that next day, I'm so sorry, you know, child. Or they have their girlfriends calling them girl so they can get out of it. You didn't think it was anything like that. You believed her.
Yeah, I believe her. Now, if she had one of her friends call me, I'd be like, man, I ain't got time for all this. Because, like, call me or talk to me yourself. You know what I mean?
Right.
If I had one of my homeboys call her, she'd be like, boy, bye. Cause, and she should. I shouldn't be. Why am I putting my friend up to talk to her? You know what I mean?
Right. So, no pun intended, her name is Trust. Did you believe that was her real name?
I think I asked, your name really is Trust? And she goes, it is. I'm like, nice. I go, that's a beautiful name.
Nice. So y'all just were vibing right away from the beginning.
Yeah.
That's good because a lot of couples don't do that. Now, Trust, I see your face. Now, what does that mean? Did you not like him from the beginning?
He was very attractive. Very attractive. He is very attractive. I mean, he's cute. But I, because I'm older than him, I was like, oh, that'd be like a little brother to me. And then he had other motives. And then he told me I was going to be his girlfriend a couple months later. I was like, what? I was like, oh, okay. And then he told me I was going to be his wife. And then.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I probably did.
Yeah. And I think he sent me a text that asked me to marry him.
Yeah, that was so corny. I can't believe I did that.
Now, how many months passed by before you did this, or years?
5.5 months. So from the time we met, 5.5 months went by.
Okay.
Or was it 4.5?
It was 4.5 and we got married a month later.
Yeah, 4.5 and we got married a month later.
So
no, it was 5.5. No, it was 5.5.
We got married at 5.5.
Yeah.
So you had to ask me to marry before you married him. Wake up.
I knew that. Oh. Yeah.
So what do you think about couples who come and say, never jump into a relationship until you get to know somebody for a full year because you really don't know them? What do you say to them?
Go ahead, babe. I'm doing most of the talking. You first. I still think that's a good thing because a lot of times there's no way to know who you're really getting. It gives you time to do your research, see what they're about, see what the person likes, what they hate, and see if there's anything that's so bad or so out there that just is a deal breaker for you. So I think that's not bad. It didn't take that long for us because, you know, me, I'm very simple. I'm just like, yeah, she good.
Yeah.
I'm super stupid simple. So.
You're funny. And by the way, thank you for your service. Does that from you being in the military, you think that you're just like straightforward, matter of fact, keep it real? Or is that just your personality?
It's pretty much my personality, but probably more so being the service. I'm just very straightforward and direct. Like when we sat down, I told her, okay, this is what I like. No, not in that tone. I just kind of learned, this is what I like. This is what I hate. I'm really about civil rights, this and that. And she was on board with that. And then she was dependable, beautiful, had a great personality. So after that, I think I was set.
That's amazing. I'm so thankful to hear that, you know, about couples, because so many people see the toothpaste squeezed the wrong way and they're out of their relationship instead of making it work. So you guys are making that work. Now, what was the actual driving force, or what is the driving force even now for you guys to stay together, bonded as a strong couple, having this great romantic relationship? You know, as the two of you grow professionally and personally to meet your goals, what's that driving force?
I would say mutual love and respect for each other and just generally wanting to see each other do well, because the way I look at it is, I hope this is a good answer. When she does well, I do well. When I do well, she does well. And when she's not doing so well, I reflect that, and as I should. Because I don't believe in a situation where she doesn't do so well. I'm like, oh, well, that ain't me. She'll figure it out. I'm free. No, that's not really hate. That's not good.
Right. What about you, Tress?
I would have to echo him. Yeah. And I think what works is I'm learning to be softer, so which makes him much happier when I do that. Like what he said, that when he does well, I do well, and vice versa.
Do you mean softer, like in communication? What do you mean by that?
Because sometimes my tone can be harsh, right? And I'm trying to talk, but when I do talk softer, he's like, what you say?
I said, do I look like I'm 7? Talk to me. Talk to me like a man.
But I be trying to work on it. But
but sometimes you be funny. Well, you be talking to me like I'm a baby. You be trying to be funny. I'm like, will you just talk to me?
Yeah. So I'm trying to be softer with my tone.
See, now she's being funny.
I was...
All right, whatever.
Forget it.
Y'all sound like that newlywed couple that's been on the show for the first time yet. Y'all know each other a long, long time. Y'all just jive. Yeah. It's like a mixture of the Jeffersons with Archie Bunker and his wife. I can see the both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did say that, huh?
I wouldn't say Archie Bunker, though. Can you say Archie Bunker?
That's probably not a far cry from the truth. Well, I don't know. To be continued.
It's a mixture of all of them. So all of them. So there are many couples right now, literally, are divorcing every day. And I believe personally that it's gotten worse in the pandemic because they're always either together or something has happened to cause issues in their marriage. So what words of wisdom would you guys give a couple that's struggling right now just to bond with a blended family or just a family period?
I would say to grant grace. Mm-hmm. I would say to learn different tones when speaking, as what I just talked about, and remember what makes the other person weak makes you weak. Kind of like what we just answered already. Would you agree or disagree?
That's an excellent question. And to caveat off of that, that goes for me as well, is also keeping in mind that your spouse is your equal, not your subordinate. It's not your job to be in charge of your spouse. I hate that. Because by the same token, I don't want anybody trying to be in charge of me, because I'm a grown man. But at the same token, she's a grown woman. The only time where I feel like I'm absolutely in charge, and that's just the end of that, is there's an intruder that breaks in the house. And then I'm the man, because I have to take action on the spot. Because if not, generally people that break in your house are not good people. But other than that, she's not my daughter. She shouldn't be treated or looked at as such.
I love that. You sound like a young guy with a heart of a seasoned person.
I told you.
Like you've been through a lot.
Call me old buzzard.
I love it. That sounds country. That's awesome. So what is the toughest part of you guys being parents?
From what aspect? From the children's point of view or from our point of view?
From your point of view as parents.
I say no a lot more than he says yes. You'd be like, let him go. And I'd be like, no, where are they going?
He says no a lot more than he says
I
yes.
I say no more.
I say yes.
And then you say yes all the
okay,
time.
Okay, I got it. All right. Well, I don't say yes all the time, but you're correct. You're typically the person that says no more than me. That's correct.
And they don't come to me. And then he'll go, well, why not? Get him out of the house.
Please get out.
So I would say that we don't have bad kids, though, Dr.
No,
Rowe. Honestly, we really don't.
They're great.
And we're not a perfect family, so I don't want to give that impression to anybody. But we haven't been called by the law. We don't, like in school, they went to school, to the best of our knowledge, you know, and I was at the school all the time. They respect the household rules. They do push the envelope, especially the 13-year-old. Mm-hmm. But, I mean.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any complaints.
Yeah. And, you know, I am of the mindset that I believe that children, just children in general, whatever environment they in, they adopt that environment sometimes, especially when they're younger, because that's what they're learning. And so when someone says, well, my kid is bad, and I'm saying to myself, I'm not saying all, but many, well, what kind of household are they coming from? What are you doing to allow them to adopt it? So a lot of times it's not them internally. It's just what they're picking up. If you curse, they curse. I'm just giving an example. Or if somebody, you know, goes out and slaps somebody, what you think your kid's going to do, you know? So
absolutely. And sometimes, though, when you have children that kind of veer off from what you've taught them,
yes.
It's not always a reflection of your report card, right? Because we are all individuals,
yep.
And we all make decisions according to what we think is best.
Yes.
But the beauty of that is when they're able to turn it around.
Right.
And it may not be instantaneously. It might take a year or two, right? Yes. But as long as they're able to turn around, and for me, if they're able to come back and always be respectful to you, mm-hmm. regardless of what they're going through. For me, I overlook all of that. Would you agree? Or
long as they're being respectful and bringing to us in a very respectful. And I'm not saying they have to talk to us like they're babies, but I don't care how old you're going to be. We're always going to be their parents. Mm-hmm. Just because you're an adult now, just like us, I don't take too kindly to you yelling and snapping your neck and raising your voice. I go 0 to 90 real quick on that. Why? Because I don't talk to my own parents like that, because at the end of the day, that's still my mom. That's still my dad. And I've done that a couple of times where I was emotional. I got on the phone acting all crazy to my dad, and he cut me off. He said, son, why don't you call me back in a few minutes when you can be a little bit more respectful. And I got off the phone and went in the corner, but he was exactly right. He was exactly right. I called my dad. We had a conversation, and he didn't mean to bring it up again.
Awesome. That's a great father and great communication skills to learn for any of us. So thank
you. He had a real good dad.
Yes, I see that. That's
mother too.
Yes, we got good parents. Yeah, Mama Shirley and especially Daddy William. We're really blessed. We're really blessed. Yeah. We got some really good folks.
That's indeed a blessing. Many people don't have parents in themselves, so they were raised without that guidance. So it's great that you have that, and it shows in the how you treat one another. So mm-hmm. with that being said, what is the greatest blessing that the two of you have witnessed as parents in your children?
Mine is the fact that we're always getting compliments, or somebody will text us or text my phone or her phone and be like, your son or daughter is just the most respectful. This and that. They're just, yes, man, yes, sir. And I love that. I love that because that's how I was raised. I was raised in a household that was fairly strict and where a lot of structure and order. And mom or dad was talking to you, your mouth was not moving. The only thing that came out was yes, sir, yes, ma'am. You know, yes, no, or ask for clarification, but that was it.
I love it. What about you, Jess?
I would say the biggest blessing for me as a parent is that we don't have to deal with the disrespect, the extra stress or, you know, that a lot of parents that we see go through. Like for me, even our adult children still mm-hmm. respect us.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, they do things their way, right? They don't bring it around us and they respect us. I have to say that, like, I really do. And like one of them we have that's a little bit, you know, going through challenges. Get on the phone. Hey, dad. Hey, mom. That's it. And we're like, okay. And I still say, I'm proud of you. Even though they're facing some challenges, I'm still proud of you. Because I think that that is imperative that our children feel that coming from us. Because if we don't do that, they get it from somewhere else.
So to add on to that, recently, probably about a year ago, I had a really good conversation with our 22-year-old. And I say my role now as a parent is somewhat a little bit different. It's pretty much shifted from being field general. You will do this at this time. You will to kind of a life coach or a mentor. Because what I also have to teach myself is you can't always interact with your adult children like they're 12.
Right.
I mean, they'll say yes and they'll do it. But I mean, you're just really, I feel like if you're always just barking at them sooner or later, you ain't gonna be trying to hear. You're just going to end up straining their relationship. Now there's a time and a place to you know, put somebody attention and start barking orders. There are times for that, but not just every time.
I love that. That's a balanced approach to take emotionally and physically and mentally for their part. So, and spiritually. So thank you for that. So with all that you guys have, these blessings, you know, the great kids and all of that, where do you see JP and Tristan in 5 years? What do you guys see yourselves next?
Retired. Just over 5 years, I'll just be about to retire. Hopefully, probably retired master sergeant living in Maryland or North Carolina.
Wow. So you guys like the East Coast?
I love the East. I'm from Virginia, so I would be thrilled to live either in Maryland or, well, North Carolina. I would say Virginia, but Virginia's a commonwealth. They tax everything.
Yes. Is that your goals as well, Trust? Where do you see yourselves in 5 years?
I see myself traveling a lot more, getting to know who I am as a mom, being that I was a young mom. Well, not getting to know myself as a mom, but getting to know myself as a woman, because I was a young mom and enjoying him more without the children on a cellular level of the essence of the man that he is without the children.
Where's the first place you'd like to travel?
Well, you first.
Go ahead.
So on my last deployment, I was in the Sinai Peninsula, Egypt. I've always wanted to I've always wanted to take her to Cairo to see the pyramids of Egypt, maybe visit Israel. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And I would love to see Africa.
Yes, all beautiful places of everything you just mentioned. Obviously, Africa is the motherland. But having seen Israel, I believe every person on the earth has to go there while they are capable and able-bodied to walk and climb and do all the things that you're going to see. But the main thing is you kind of leave home with a black and white lens of the Bible and you come back in color. Like everything you read, you're like, oh my God, like here's the Sea of Galilee and I was actually on it. You know, those kinds of things. It just literally changes you.
I was close to Israel. I was in the northern Sinai Peninsula, probably about a 40-minute ride from the Israeli border.
Oh, too bad you couldn't go in. I mean, it's just, hands down, Israel first before anything.
That's my biggest regret while I was over there, not going to see Israel. And we had opportunities to go on like leisure tours, but I just stayed buried in work and before I knew it, the entire tour went by me.
But that's because God knew you were going to meet your wife. And that's a place that you want to visit with your spouse because it's so spiritual and bonding that you have to go. It's just beautiful. So, yeah. Well, with that, your goals sound phenomenal. And I know you're going to reach them and God is going to bless you. My final question to you guys, and I ask this of every guest I have on this podcast, what is one Truth with Grace nugget that you can leave with my listeners that they would benefit from?
Listen more than you talk.
Amen.
I have to go with that. One thing I learned from her is because the one thing is when we met, I was very rigid. I didn't believe in grace. I just believed that this is the law. This is the book. I don't want to hear. But she, I was pretty rigid when we met in a lot of ways. At least I thought I was. But you're the one taught me about sometimes people need to be shown grace.
Oh, that part of it. But you wasn't rigid, though.
Well, rigid in terms of not wanting to show people grace and just be like, well, I never was a proponent of that until recently when you say everybody needs to be shown grace. I'm like, you know what? She's not wrong. I don't care if it's in leadership, in the professional setting, or within your own home. Everybody deserves grace. We were shown grace.
Amen.
I think I like him.
Yes, absolutely. I'm with you on that. Hence my podcast and my consulting company, Truth with Grace and Uncovering Truth with Grace. I think it's important to definitely have grace at the top because everything is not always what it seems and people are not always who they are until you know them and or just people make mistakes too. So, you know, our spouses, families, children, and if we don't give grace, how can people have, you know, grace at all? And we have a world without humanity and empathy. So wonderful. Well, it has been a blessing.
Dr. Rowe?
Yes.
I would say, though, even though grace to you means it's time to eat. But I would say, going back to your initial question about a year or more of dating, right? My philosophy on that after I gave him a chance is that people are always evolving, right? He changes every day just about. It's always something new. So you can't really say that. If you feel like you love somebody and the vibration is there, the core beliefs are there, it doesn't take 5-6 years to figure it out, you know? So, because people are always changing. One day he puts the toilet seat down, the next day he puts it up. So.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And then I'm still here. One day I'm soft-spoken and the next day he's like, girl, what are you doing? Go on and say it.
No, it'll be good.
So you never know. Just what my advice would be is just go with what your heart tells you.
Interesting. Y'all are funny. Y'all definitely need your own show. Seriously, trust in JP and family. Something. You know, it sounds like a bank.
He won't do it. He don't like the camera.
Yeah, I'm not really I'm more of a behind this. I'm more like the look at me is kind of like the car park engine that you can't see, but know that your engine V8 coils work because your car is functioning good. That's me.
It's okay, Dr. Rowe. I got you. I'm going to get him.
Yes.
I'm the hidden car part that you can't see, but you know the engine's working.
I love it. I think it's amazing. And I am just so blessed today. Thank you guys for taking time out of your busy family schedule to come on this podcast. And I look forward to having you guys back.
Look forward to it.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Uncovering Truth with Grace. If you enjoyed this podcast, consider sharing it with a friend. To learn more about Dr. Rowe's other motivational speaking and management consulting services, visit drrolanda.com. That's drrolanda.com. Follow Dr. Rowe on social media and listen to her podcasts on Spotify and Apple, where new episodes are available every Tuesday and Friday.